Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm telling you what, I could tell standing up here that we are in a Baptist church, all this fellowshipping going on. The only thing I didn't see was the green bean casserole. So welcome to the Sunday morning services here at Rose Hill. What a blessing to be in the house of the Lord today. And I'm telling you what, folks, turn around and look at the crowd that we had this morning here on Friend Day. Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand right off the bat. But we are so glad that you are here to worship with us this morning. The only reason we are here is to sing our praises and lift up our praises to Jesus Christ himself. And we thank God that he lets us do this in such a public way in the United States of America. So what a blessing. If you are a visitor here, we want a record of your visit. And we want a record of your visit for one reason and one reason only. We want to be able to minister to you. We are so glad you are here. There are a lot of friends that could be recognized this morning. I do want to single out a couple right over here to my left, Butch and Nancy Kiger. Butch is our director of missions, and we are so glad to be worshiping with them and that they are here this morning. So we thank God that you are with us and worshiping together this morning. So we're glad that you're here. I also want to introduce Bob Smith. He is going to be leading us in our music this morning, and we are glad that he is with us. You are going to be blessed. But what a privilege it is to be together this morning.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. I will enter his courts with praise. I will lift up a song of worship. I will bless his holy name. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. I will praise. I will lift up a song of worship. I will bless his holy name. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. I will enter his courts with praise. I will lift up a song of worship. I will bless his holy name. Our Lord God is so holy and mighty in all of his ways. Our Lord God is so worthy. He's worthy of all of our praise. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. I will enter his courts with praise. I will song of worship, I will bless his holy name. He is the one who has given. He's given my heart a brand new song. I will sing to him in worship, praising him all the day long. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. I will enter his courts with praise. I will lift up a song of worship. I will bless his
God saves. Isn't that a great thought? In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, Lord, we come to worship you this morning. And I want you to lift your voice and sing with us. Put a smile on your face, because we got something to smile about. Amen? Join me singing.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together, lift up your name. Call on our Savior, call on your grace.
Truth is, if God's Spirit leads you to lift holy hands to Him, it's okay. Amen? You know, the Church of God, they raise their hands this way. And the Assembly of God, they raise their hands to Jesus this way. In the Baptist Church, we do it this way. We're so afraid that somebody's going to call us a charismatic or something. We don't know what it is. But I just want us to forget about all of that and just praise Him. Amen? I want us to praise Him. Has the Lord done something in your life? Then we have something to praise Him about. Amen? I know in my life He has blessed me beyond measure. And I want to praise Him. I want to lift up holy hands because of what He's done for me. Most of all, because He saved me and He made a place in heaven for me. When I leave this world, I know where I'm going, and I hope you do as well. Join me singing together.
I will praise Him. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can come together and lift up our praises to you. God, we know that in your scripture, in Jeremiah, you tell us to call on your name and you will answer us in ways that we can't even know. That you answer our prayers, God, above and beyond what our expectation even is. God, I thank you for a God who is moved with compassion by the prayers of your people. A God who loves us enough send his son to earth, to die on the cross for our sins so that we may live with you forever. Oh God, may we take advantage of that free gift. Lord, I just can't help but think in a crowd this size this morning gathered for the one reason and one reason only to worship you, that you won't be moving among your people today. And God, our only goal as we move through this service today is that your name be glorified. God, we thank you for our friends and visitors who joined us today. And God, we pray that you move in their hearts and encourage them, God, to join in the fellowship here, God, and be a part of what you're doing at Rose Hill. Lord, I thank you for the songs that have already been sung, and I thank you for the message that's going to be delivered here in a few minutes. May it stir the hearts of your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated.
Made of wood, built by man, there it stood, salvation's plan. Adam's fall and my own sin, it was all placed on him.
Without the cross, where would I be? I would be so lost. What a great message.
This morning on our prayer list, be sure and pray for Michael Benji Sykes. This is Joy Burton's son. He is in ICU at King's Daughters Medical Center after having a medical emergency last week, but he's doing better, so continue to pray for him. Also, pray for our church. Pray for our search team as they continue to work, and just pray that God will bless them and bless the man he's preparing to come here as our pastor. Now, Brother Danny Gallion's been heading up our Friend Day. Brother Danny, come up here, and he's going to just share a word about Friend Day, and then I want him to lead us in our prayer time after he is finished. But Danny, share with us.
Turn to the person next to you and say, "Thank you for coming today." This is awesome. I mean, what could you ask for? I mean, this is awesome. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to Brother Paul. Got his nice little bow tie. It looks awesome. thanks to the people that put up the signs, the workers. It's awesome. I mean, what more could you ask for? And this is all for God's glory. We'll never know what blessings He'll have for us out of today until we get to eternity. And that's what it's all about. When we get to eternity, we'll know what's happened. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for the day, the many blessings that you do bestow upon us. We pray that you be with this offering this morning, that you be with both the gift and the giver. We pray for Brother Paul as he brings a message this morning. Lord, we thank you for hearts opening, hearts inviting, and Lord, you filling up this auditorium today. Lord, we pray that your will be done today. Bless those that have loss in their life. Bless those in the hospital. Bless those in the nursing homes. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all the blessings that you do give us. All these things we ask and thank you for. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you.
much, and you may be seated.
Just before Brother Paul comes to preach this morning, Brother David Bush is going to come and lead us in a special time of prayer for our church. We're in a transition period. Our search team is working to find a pastor. Brother David is the chairman of our school board, also one of our deacons, and he's going to lead in this special time of prayer.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now and in prayer, thanking you for the opportunity to be able to come into the presence of the God who spoke this world into existence, who, dear God, knows our every thought and knows what's best in every situation. And we come to you now, dear God, thanking you for the many blessings that you have given us. We thank you for the opportunity to come boldly to the throne of grace through your Son, Jesus Christ, and his life, death, burial, and resurrection. Through that, each of us have the hope of eternal life. I pray, dear God, that you build a hedge around this church, that you be with its members mentally, physically, and spiritually. And I pray that you uphold the things here in this church and give us discernment and wisdom and direction on how to go. I especially pray you be with our pastor search committee, that you put upon our hearts the man that you would want to come lead this great church. And I pray even now that you are working in his heart and leading him to, even though he might not even know about this church, that you're putting it into his heart, because we know that you know the end from the beginning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the many great things that you have done in this church, and I thank you ahead of time for the great things that you're going to do. I pray you be with Brother Paul as he preaches here in a minute, and I just pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that you'll save them today. Be with us. Let us do great things in your name, because we know that churches do great things when individual believers live crucified lives and take up their crosses and follow you. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that will be each one of us, our desires to do what you want us to do in our lives. I pray you be with our church, guide and direct us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
We'll say, wow. Say, wow backwards. Wow. Wow, aren't we having a great worship service? It's tremendous. I tell you that Bob Smith, he's a somebody. He really is. And every time I hear him sing, it makes me want to get saved all over again. Amen? And so, and I praise the Lord. Good to see you in God's house today. And my text is very simple. It comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 24. And it just simply says this. It just says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. And then it goes on to say, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. If I had a subtitle for my message today, it would be this: God pursues friendships, a friendship with you that's real and personal. God wants to have a relationship with you that's real and personal. We're going to talk about that today. And before we do, let's pray and ask God's blessing upon the reading here of his word. Lord, thank you for those that have come to Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church today. And this is a good place to be. There's many places that we could be, but there's no place I'd rather be than right here. And Lord, thank you for those that have come. There are friends. And the Bible says a friend loves at all times, and we love our friends at all times. Bless now, we pray, especially this worship service. And may you use it for your honor and for your glory. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. You know, I've been gone for a couple of weeks, and now I'm back. You say, where were you at? Well, one of the places that I was in a revival meeting down in Long Ridge, Kentucky. Long Ridge, Kentucky is in northern Kentucky. You say, where is it close to? It's close to Owington. And I was at the Long Ridge Baptist Church. And while I was there, the Rotary Club found out that I was there and invited me to come and speak to their Rotary Club. And I went down to speak to them. I said, what on earth do you want a Baptist preacher to talk to you about? They said, we want to know about Eastern Kentucky people. So we want you to tell us about Eastern Kentucky people. Much like when I was preaching a revival service out in West Kentucky, the ladies in one of the churches out in West Kentucky, Brother Butch, got my wife off to the side and said, now, what are those Eastern Kentucky women like anyway? Amen? And so everybody's interested in what goes on over here in Eastern Kentucky. And so I told the Rotary Club down in Owington, down near Long Ridge, where I was in revival, I said, Eastern Kentucky people are polite. Eastern Kentucky people love to laugh. Eastern Kentucky people work hard. Eastern Kentucky people value family. And Eastern Kentucky people are friendly. And so when I made that statement, I thought about, well, that's going to be my text for Friend Day at Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. Now, how many of you this morning represent a friend of somebody at Rose Hill Baptist Church? Would you just raise your hand all over the auditorium? You represent a friend. Well, listen, you're proof positive that you've just attended today a friendly church. The Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church is a friendly church. And I love my friends. I thought about one friend that I might tell you about. I had a friend when I was growing up. I was about 8, 9, 10 years old. And my friend lived in Piketon, Ohio. It's always good to have a friend that lives out of the area. You can tell your buddies about it at school. I have a friend that lives in Piketon. I was always proud to say that I had a friend that lived in Piketon, Ohio. And he and I would play together in his grandmother's yard. She lived one door up from us in Kilgore. And so I would go out there and play with him. His name was Tony. And Tony and I would play. And so back in the early 1960s, when I was about 8, 9 years old, and our favorite baseball team at that time was the New York Yankees. Let me tell you who played on that Yankee team. There's guys like Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris. They were in a home run race, and some of you may remember that. And then there was Yogi Berra and Whitey Ford. It was on that team. And so we would play, and we would just pretend that we were in Yankee Stadium. Sometimes he'd be Whitey Ford, and I'd be Yogi Berra. Sometimes I'd be Whitey Ford, sometimes he'd be Yogi Berra. We'd get up, and you know, we'd hit the ball, and then we'd have to run. We didn't have any guys to help us run after the baseball, so we'd have to go get it. But sometimes we would bat, and one of us would be Mickey Mantle, and other times we'd be Roger Maris. But we loved that New York Yankee team. As I grew a little bit older, my friend said to me, he said, "Now listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to college. I want you to get a really good education. Then after you get a really good education, I want you to work hard and work yourself up to be a CEO of a Fortune 500 company." And I said, "Why on earth would you want me to do something like that?" He said, "So you can give me a job." He said, "I don't want to go to college. I want you to go to college. Then I want you to give me a job." That was my friend. And so I praise God for my friend. I didn't have a chance to see him grow up because when he graduated from high school, the night of his graduation, he was accidentally killed in an automobile accident, and I lost my friend. I thought about him recently because I was in Pikeville, Kentucky. We're getting ready for a meeting with FCA, and we had invited Bobby Richardson. Bobby Richardson played on that New York Yankee baseball team, and he was good friends with Yogi Berra. And Bobby Richardson's claim to fame, some of you may remember this, but he had a Grand Slam home run in a World Series game. And so he would always show that wherever he would go. But Bobby Richardson witnessed to Mickey Mantle, the center fielder for the New York Yankees, and reached Mickey Mantle for Christ. And so one of these days when we go to heaven, guess who we'll be able to meet? We'll be able to meet Mickey Mantle. Smooth, swinging Mick, and we'll be able to meet him one of these days. But a humorous story about Bobby Richardson and his good friend Yogi Berra. He said, "I ran into Yogi recently." And I said, "You did?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "He's been doing those Aflac commercials." And I said, "Yeah, I know." He said, I said to Yogi, he said, "How much do they give you for that, $150? And Yogi went, he said, "$200. And Yogi went like this. He said, "$250. And he went like this. But he said, "Bobby, I got to be honest with you. There's something you don't know, and I've got to tell you." He said, "What is that, Yogi?" He said, "That duck ain't real." He said, "The duck's not real." And so that's Yogi Berra. But that was Bobby Richardson's good friend. And so friends are important. I heard about the little boy that went to his dad and said, "Dad," said, "ask me whether I'd rather be Batman or Robin." His dad said, "Son, I don't have much time. I'm in a hurry. Dad's in a real big hurry. But ask me, Dad, whether I'd rather be Batman or whether I'd rather be Robin." He said, "Just take a minute." He said, "Okay, would you rather be Batman or would you rather be Robin? Or Batman or would you rather be Superman?" I'm getting it all messed up here. He said, "Just take a minute." He said, "Dad, I'd rather be Batman." He said, "Well, fine, son. You'd rather be Batman versus Superman." But he said, "Now listen, Dad's in a hurry and I've got to get out of here. I've got to go." And so he said, "But Dad, don't you want to know why?" And his dad said, well, go ahead and tell me why. He said, because Batman has a friend, Dad. And so his dad looked at him and said, son, do you need a friend? He said, I sure do, Dad. I need a friend. He said, do you need Dad to be your friend? He said, Dad, I'd sure like it if you could be my friend. And we all need friends. Someone said, friends are like a priceless treasure. He who has none is a social pauper. Someone else said, the best recipe for making friends is to be one yourself. Someone else said, there's no harmony when you sing alone, Brother Bob. There's no harmony. And so all of us need friends. We're just like that little boy. None of us have been created to be alone. God created each and every single one of us for relationship, and this is very important. That little boy needs a friend. You need a friend. I need a friend. All of God's people need friends. But I want you to know that when I think about this thing of friendship, I want you to know that the Bible says this. It's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for people not to have good relationships. It was Dennis Swanberg that talked about four different levels of relationships. And I want to share those four different levels of relationships that Dennis Swanberg came up with out of Scripture. Because he said Jesus entered into all four of these different levels of relationships. He said relationship number one, there's the three. Relationship number two, there's the 12. Relationship number three, there's the 120. And relationship number four, there's the 3,000. Jesus had all four of those relationships. The first level of relationships, the three, there's Peter, James, and John. That was our Lord's inner circle. Inner circles are important, and you need an inner circle of relationships. You say, what happens in that inner circle? Well, these are the folks that you can share things with, and you feel safe. These are folks that you can bear your soul with, and you feel safe. These are folks that you can be kind of stupid and silly with, and still be safe. Because they're your inner circle of friends. Now, an inner circle of friends will, according to Henry Cloud and John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, an inner circle of friendships will do three things. Number one, they'll draw you closer to God. But then number two, they'll draw you closer to others. And then number three, they'll help you become everything that God created you to be. An inner circle of friendships. By the way, this is one of the things, as a church growth consultant, that I'm advising Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church to be, and that is to be a friend that can be trusted, a friend that will actually draw people closer to God, draw people closer to others, and then help people to become all that God would have them to be. And so we need an inner circle of friendships. We need at least three. Now, I know it's tough for us to have those, but it's very important that we have those, especially in ministry, Brother Bob. It's very important that we have those, Brother Butch, have an inner circle of three folks that we can really trust. But then there's the 12. Jesus had the 12. You say, who are the 12? These are the folks that he hung out with. All of us need some folks that we hang out with. Now, Brother John, what did you shoot yesterday? What did you shoot? 83 and 71 right over here. Yesterday on the golf course, amen? Hanging out with each other and playing golf. Now, they only played 16 holes. They got 83 and on 16. Oh, they got rained out. But that's the score that they had when they left. But we need some folks that we hang out with. We need some folks that we go out and eat lunch with. We need some folks that we play golf with. We need some folks that we go to the movie with. We need some folks, you know, that we just go shopping with. We need those folks that we hang out with. Jesus had the 12. You need at least 12. Folks that you hang out with. And then beyond that, Jesus had the 120. That's the church. And you need the church. Look to your neighbor right now and say, we need the church. Look to your neighbor and just say, we need the church. Now you see, you think, oftentimes we think the church needs us, and they do, but at the same time, you need the church. You say, why? Because if you're a believer, if you're a born-again believer, God has gifted you, and that gift that God has given you, one of the places that God actually brings that gift to maturity is in the body of Christ. The church is an equipping station. The church ought to be a place where believers are built up, not torn down, but a place where we're equipped to do exactly what God has called us to do. And if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, you'll find out one of these days we'll have to stand before God and give an account for that gift that God has given to us, because one day God will hold us account accountable for the way we've lived our Christian lives. And then not only are they the level number one, which is the 3, level number 2, which is the 12, level number 3, which is the 120, but then finally there's level number 4, which is the 3,000. And that represents the world and the world that we share the gospel with. Because we find in the book of Acts that when Peter preached the gospel, that 3,000 were added that day. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were added to the church. And we need a community whereby we share the gospel. Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church has the community of Ashland, and here's where they share the gospel. The Bible is 66 books, but the gospel is only 10 words. Jesus died for our sins and was raised from the grave. Jesus died for our sins and was raised from the grave. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we share the good news of Christ. And so those 4 levels of relationships, and God has created you to have relationships, to be in relationships to others, to have friendships. And so friends, what would represent, if you would make a list and say, these are the characteristics of some really good friends. I wonder what your list would look like. Well, I've made up a list this week of some things that I think ought to be on the list. It's not an exhaustive list, but it's just some things that I believe that ought to be on a list that would characterize good friendships. First of all, there's this thing of honesty. And the question that I would attach to the word honesty is this, is can I trust you to be honest with me? In other words, as a friend, can I trust you to speak truth into my life? Another proverb, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6, talks about the faithful, or says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Meaning what? Here's a guy that has earned the right to speak truth into somebody else's life, and they speak truth into their life, and sometimes it's not exactly what they want to hear, but it's what they ought to hear. And so when I think about good friendships, I think about honesty. I got a phone call this week from a good friend, and I didn't get a chance to speak to him. I got a text message from him. I responded to the text. He asked me if I was available to talk. I told him that I was. I tried to phone him, and I had to leave him a voicemail, and I wasn't able to talk to him. But I need to speak truth into his life. You say, why? Because I love him. He's already in the process of destroying his career. He's in the process of messing up his family. He's in the process of messing up his personal life. And he's on the road to destruction. And I hope that very soon that I have the opportunity to speak some truth into the life of my friend. I love him and I care about him. I don't want to share with him what he wants to hear, but I need to speak to him what he needs to hear. And so the first thing when I think about friendships, I think about honesty. But the second thing that I think about friendships, I think about love. And the question that I would attach to that word love is, will you love me when I'm not at the top of my game? Rick Frazier, former pastor of First Baptist Church, Louisa, says, you know, sometimes God's people can be lower than a snake in a tar track. Amen? And sometimes that can be true. It was Milton Berle says, a friend walks in when everybody walks out. That's what Milton Berle said. And so we need friends. The TV evangelist Jim Baker talked about when everybody walked out of his life. And he said he just had been released from prison and been sent to a halfway house, and when he had a visit from somebody that was his friend, he said Franklin Graham came to see him. When Franklin Graham came to see him, he said, Jim, when you get out, he said, I want to do 3 things for you. I want to give you a job, I want to give you a house, and I want to give you an opportunity to recoup and get a new start in your life. And he said, I'd already been in my transferred to my 5th prison, now just getting out. And I said to Franklin, he said, Franklin, you don't want to do this. You don't need my baggage. Your family has a great name. You don't need my name attached to your family. He said, you don't want to do this. And here's what Franklin Graham, Jim Baker's friend, said to him. He said, I was a friend before you went into jail, and I continue to be your friend as you get out of jail. And he said, if somebody has an issue with that, he said, I'm looking for a good fight because I'm your friend. He said, finally, when I was released to the halfway house, the Salvation Army that was in the Monfreid area, that Ruth Graham had called the halfway house and asked permission that I attend church with her at the Monfreid Presbyterian Church. And said, I went there. The pastor was so nice to me, and they took me down, and they sat me with the Graham family. And he said, there I sat. Both the pews were absolutely filled, but only the seat next to me was empty. And said, I didn't know who was going to be sitting next to me. And the organ began to play. The doors opened up, and in walked Ruth Graham. And Ruth Graham, he said, walked over and sat next to inmate 07407-058. And said, when she sat there with me in that service, it said to the whole world, when everybody despised me, when everybody did not care for me, she said, Ruth Graham sat there and said, I'm Jim Baker's friend. And so a friend, the Bible says a friend loves at all times. A friend was born for adversity. And so when we go through troubling times and when we're lower, as Brother Rick would say, than a snake in a tire track, we can depend on our friends. And so friends will be honest. Friends will love you. And then another word that I would give you is the word service. And the question that I would attach to that is, will you help me? Will you help me in the things that I have to do in life? I was reading a story by Earl Weiler, and he talked about Jim and Philip, and they were really good friends. And he said that Jim was just a little older than Philip, and he'd often take the leadership role in the friendships, but that was okay. They went to high school together. They went to college together, and they joined the Marines at the same time. And he talked about that in the Marines that they fought one of the ugliest wars of all times, and that was they were fighting in Germany. And they said one sweltering day in a fierce battle, says amid heavy gunfire and bombings and close quarters and all that, they were given the command to retreat. And so they began to retreat. They began to run back. But Jim noticed that Philip, he couldn't find Philip. And so he began to look around for his friends. And he knew if Philip wasn't back within minutes, that Philip would lose his life. And so he begged the commanding officer, said, could I go and look for my friend? And the commanding officer said, no, you can't go. That would be committing suicide. But he said he risked his own life, disobeyed the commanding officer's orders, and he went looking for Philip. They said they saw him coming across the battlefield, and his heart was pounding, and he was running beneath gunfire, and he was carrying his friend Philip. His arms were limp. And he brought him back into the camp, and Jim's commanding officer upbraided him and said, shouted at him and said, you're a foolish man. He said, this is absolutely outrageous for you to take a risk like this. And he said, listen, your friend is dead, and there was absolutely nothing you can do about it. And to that, he responded and said, no, sir, said, you're wrong, Jim replied. No, you're wrong, he said. I got there just in time because I was able to hear Philip's last words. And here was Philip's last words. He said this. He said, I knew you would come. I knew you'd be there because you're my friend. And so when I think about friendships, I think about honesty, I think about love, I think about service. But then I think there's another word. There's the word loyalty. And the question that I would associate with the word loyalty is, will you stick up for me? Will you be faithful to me when I'm not in the room? When I'm absent, will you be faithful? Would the conversation have to change if I were to walk into the room? I wrote down in my notes, I said, it's smart to pick your friends, but not to pick them to pieces. Amen. And sometimes we can pick our friends to pieces, but nevertheless, not a loyal friend. And so loyalty would be associated with friendships. And then beyond that, there's the word receiving, and that is, will you receive from me? Very important. I've got some friends, they like to give to me, but they don't like to receive from me. And the giving and the receiving both are very, very important in friendships. I got a friend that lives down the street from me. He runs a Mexican restaurant. And I can't eat in his restaurant unless it's free. We tried the other night. Bob and I tried to eat there the other night. He wants to do everything for me, my neighbor down the street. But he's not going to get away with that because I'm going to do some things for him too. Because that's the way friendships are. Friendship is just not one-sided. You give and you take, and as a result of that, you build strength into the relationship. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And so listen, I have an announcement to make to the Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church on this Friend Day. God created you for relationships. And friendships are very important. And it's good that we're here today with our friends. Now, relationships, listen, there's the horizontal, that's between you and me, and then there's the vertical, that's between me and God. The horizontal, that's between you and your friendships. The vertical, that's between you and your God. And both of those have to be right. And my text says, not only if you're going to have friends, you need to be friendly, but at the same time, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And his name is, class, Jesus. Now, it's important to understand that we learn how to be a friend of God. It's important that we're friends with each other, but also it's important that we learn to be a friend of God. The Bible said that Abraham was a friend of God. And I began to read a little bit about that as I made preparation for what I was going to share with you today. And what I found out is this: Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for what? Righteousness. Now, that's the way Abraham was justified before God. And that was by his faith. But that's not how he became God's friend. The way he became God's friend was that he obeyed God. I was reading the second chapter of the book of James, and Abraham was a man that was willing to offer his son Isaac on the altar. He believed that God, if he had to take Isaac's life, that God would raise him. Abraham was looking forward to what? When God would offer his only son on Calvary's cross. Old Testament looks forward to the cross of Calvary for their redemption. We look back to the cross of Calvary, all saved exactly the same way. There's not an Old Testament way and a New Testament way. There's only one way, and that's through the man Christ Jesus. But nevertheless, you become a friend of God through obedience. Jesus said this. Listen very carefully. Look to your neighbor and said, you better listen to this. Listen, you better tell your neighbor that. Now notice, he says this. You're my friend, Jesus said, if you do what I command you. You're my friend if you obey me. Salvation is unconditional. It's totally by grace through faith. But listen, friendship is conditional. It's based upon obedience to his word. Jesus said, you're my friend if you do what I command you, what I tell you to do in my word. That's the way you become a friend with God. Henry Blackaby talked about faith and action. Both of those are important when you talk about being a friend with God. It requires that I put my faith and trust in God and believe that Jesus died for my sins according to Scripture. He was buried the third day also according to Scripture. And I trust God for eternal life. It's important that I do that. But from that point forward, if I want to be a friend of God, then I what? Obey him. I do what God directs me to do in his word. And it's so important that we learn how to do this. And so the question is, what adjustments do you need to make in your life on this Friend Day in order to be a friend of God? As we come to this point in this service, as you think about your relationship with God, what adjustments in your life needs to be made so that you can be a friend with God? Knowing that if this is not right, this is not going to be right. Knowing if this is not right, then this is not going to be right. And so this is very important. But I'll also tell you that it's important in our nation. How many of you think that our country's in trouble right now? Raise your hand. Would you do? Yeah. Good to see you back there, Bobby Newman. I don't know who brought Bobby Newman, but he's my friend. Amen. But he's somebody else's friend here today, I guess. But good to have you here today, Bobby. But listen, it's important. Listen, let me tell you what's going on in our country right now. In his book, Bowling Alone, Robert Putnam says this. He says the following stats are indicators of a decline in community life in America. Have you noticed that we have a decline in community life in America? He said attending club meetings down 58%. Attending family dinners down 33%. Having friends over down 45%. You say, why do you think that's true, Brother Paul? Because we don't have it right. We're not going to have community right until we have a relationship with God right. And I'm wondering today, what adjustments needs to be made in your life in order that you get this right? And I want to ask you, are you willing to make those adjustments so that you have the kind of relationships that God created you to have? I'll tell you this quick story, and then we'll tell you how, and then I'm going to tell you how to have a right relationship with God, and then we're done. But when we did a crusade, and when I first went to Pikeville, we did an evangelistic crusade. And we did it at the football stadium, and we brought in a lot of special people, and we had a great crusade. We had about 1,100 professions of faith, Brother Butch, in that crusade. It was a tremendous crusade that we had. I hadn't been there very long. And if you want to do those, you have to do those early on in your ministry, because it changes after you've been there for a little while. But while I was there, we had this great crusade. We brought in special folks. And one of the guys that we brought in to give a testimony was Elvis Presley's half-brother, Rick Stanley. And Rick Stanley in Memphis, Tennessee, listen, he had trouble with his relationship. He had a lot of trouble with his relationship. As a matter of fact, he got in trouble with the law. And they arrested Rick Stanley, and they took him, and they threw him in jail. Now, Elvis had done a lot in the community in Memphis to help the police force out. He was a believer in the Memphis Police Department, and he did a lot of benevolent types of things to help the police department out. So they called up Elvis, and they considered Elvis a friend of the police department, and they said, "You'll never guess what." And he said, "What?" He said, "We got your half-brother, Rick Stanley, down here in jail." And Elvis said, "I'll be down." So he went down in the middle of the night. Elvis Presley walks in, and there's Rick Stanley in jail, his half-brother. And he walks over to the jail cell, and he looks at Rick, and he said, "Elvis, you'll never guess what they've been doing to me in this jail." And Elvis said, "What have they been doing to you in this jail, Rick?" He said, "They've been telling me about Jesus." And here's what Rick Stanley said, Elvis Presley said to him, says, "Rick," he said, "anybody that'll tell you about Jesus is a friend. Anybody that'll tell you about Jesus is a friend." I was glad to hear that 2 weeks before his death that Elvis Presley rededicated his life to Jesus. I'm wondering, what adjustments would you have to make in your life to be right with God today so that you could refer to God as your friend? So that you could have the type of relationships. Listen, some of you may be struggling in your marriage relationship. You may be struggling in a work relationship. You may be struggling in a family relationship. I mean, you just have relationship issues. Have you ever thought, pause to think, maybe the reason that I'm struggling with these relationships is that I don't have my vertical relationship with God the Father in the right place. Now, I want to tell you how to do that. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want to tell you how to do that. Some of you may not, listen, that's where you begin. And you begin by making sure you have your F-A-I-T-H in Christ Jesus. F stands for forgiveness. Bible says in him, meaning Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. And so you begin with forgiveness. You can't have a right relationship with God if you don't have forgiveness. 8-year-olds need to repent. 80-year-olds need to repent. Everybody in between needs to repent. We need the forgiveness that comes from turning to God. F, forgiveness. A stands for the availability of it. And the Bible says it's available to all of us. The Bible said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The availability. It's not automatic, because Jesus said not everybody that says to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter in the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because it's impossible for sin to enter into God's presence. That's the reason we need to repent. We need to turn. We turn from something, that's sin and self, we turn to someone, and that someone is Christ Jesus. We put our faith and trust in Christ Jesus, and when we do, the Bible says this, that Jesus died for our sins according to Scripture, was buried and raised the third day also according to Scripture. Bible says that we'll confess Jesus the Lord with our mouth and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved, and then we can have H, which stands for heaven. You say, heaven hereafter. No, heaven here. The Bible says the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Life here, then life hereafter. Jesus said, "If I go away, I'll prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, then I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." F-A-I-T-H. That's the way you get the vertical thing right. Forsaking all, I trust him. Put my faith and trust in him. That's where a relationship begins. Then beyond that, it's obedience. You say, "Well, my Christian life couldn't be described as one as being obedient." Then it's 1 John 1:9. The Bible says we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So confession of sin. And when we get this right, then we can get these right. Or it could be that you got, listen, you've been working on this, but you got real problems here. What is it? What type of adjustment do you need to be to make in your life to be right with friends on the horizontal plane? In your neighborhood, your friends, your relatives, your associates, and your neighbors. Are you struggling? Is there something that needs to be corrected in that? If there is, then though you need to be praying about that, because you can't have this right if this is not right. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the hands that were raised. There's a lot of honest people here this morning. Hands went up everywhere. There are people that are struggling with relationships, and you created us for relationship. On this Friend Day, may it be said, of those that attended the Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church, they're getting their relationships right. They want to be right with the world that's around them, but they also want to be right with God. And this is a new day, a new start in this church, in this place. Help us, God, one by one, to make decisions this morning that we'll be glad a million years from now that we made, as we make those only for Christ Jesus. For to Him belongs all the praise and honor and glory. For it's His name that we pray. You come this morning, and we'd love to pray with you today on this Friend Day. You come on quickly. Come on.